on the lay apostolate, which is the first class, and then angels and demons, the second class. The immediate occasion for both classes, let me explain. The reason for the first class on the lay apostolate is that the Holy See wants to organize lay catechists, lay people, to teach the faith, and not just in our country, but in other English-speaking countries as well. And to do that, we need, of course, people who know something. People who know something about what their responsibility in the lay apostolate is. Secondly, to get the backing of the bishops. We now have 11 American bishops backing this venture of the Holy See, including my very good friend, who was just ordained bishop, as you know, on Friday. I couldn't attend the ordination ceremony. I did write, however, a letter to him. My mass yesterday was for his intentions. So that's the reason for the first class. My 26th year in working for the Holy See, and there was no illusion in anyone's mind, I believe, that our country desperately needs understanding the true, unqualified Catholic faith. With so many of our Catholic schools closed, 85% of all the Catholic schools in America have closed since 1965. We've lost 90,000 teaching sisters in America since the Second Vatican Council. We are here not coincidentally. It would have been a classroom for children. Someone had better share the faith. That's the purpose of the first class. The second class is occasioned by the widespread influence of the evil spirit in our day. And in God's providence, the good spirits, the good angels, are our best, you might say, cavalry for coping with the evil angels. Moreover, the Opus Angelorum, as you know, a religious institute whose foundations go back several centuries, but concentrating now on devotion to the angels, has its only American foundation here at Assumption Parish. The only residence for the Opus Angelorum in the United States is here in Detroit. And of course, I wish to cooperate with this community. To cooperate with them, they and others need to know the role of the angels in our lives. That's the reason for the second class. In order to ensure that people not only attend class, but will have an opportunity for understanding what we talk about in class, I am writing two manuscripts. Both are catechisms. The one is a catechism on the lay apostolate. The second is a catechism on angels and demons. As we finish the course, the hope is I will have completed both manuscripts, which then will be available for publication. I would ask you, however, not to make copies of your manuscripts so as not to be in unnecessary competition. That's just good Jesuit business. But that is an introduction. I would first like to tell you, as some of you know, that in our class last week, we went through the introduction of the Catechism of the Lay Apostolate. You should all have copies, by the way, of the manuscript up to the present and what follows. If you do not have manuscripts covering the introduction and the questions up to and through question 8. We've made extra copies. If you do not have the copies from beyond what we covered yesterday, let me know. May I ask, have all of you received copies of also the first part of this course? You have? Well then, I have no choice except that. By next week, it would be well if we passed a paper around to find out how many of you do not have copies of the first part of both courses in manuscript. You make copies available for the next class. Moreover, we may have more students as this course is advertised, because this was not planned for, as you realize. In any case, for today, we will start with question 9 of your manuscript on the Catechism of the Lay Apostolate. The giant print is meant for my poor eyes. Yours should be in smaller letters and for you more intelligible. May I ask, do you have, from question 9 on, do you have that? Good. My apologies for the seating arrangement, for the lack of space. In the meeting I had with Father Perrone, he assured us if the numbers become too large for this classroom, it's the biggest classroom in the building. Next week, then, the plan would be to go to the gym. Before I came to Detroit, I did what I'm doing here. I had classes on Sundays in Chicago. We had access to the monastery of the Dominican Fathers in Chicago. And we never had less than 200 students. So, in other words, you'll make sure we're not crowded next week. Okay? Now, the plan for both courses. Are there any more chairs, by the way? There's one chair here. No. The plan for the courses, therefore, is very simple. You will be provided, at the beginning of each class, with a printout of the questions that I plan to cover. My job during class will be to go over the questions and answers, briefly explain and comment, and then, as we have been doing at Domino's Farms, we would have up to a half an hour for questions. I would like to then hand Paul or somebody to distribute, and preferably white paper, and write large. And would you please pass them around? Write large, and if you don't mind, print, because of my poor eyesight. I pretty well lost the use of my right eye. I've had 4 surgeries for my right eye. My left eye is still operating, but not as well as it used to. So write big, and if you don't mind, print. The last part, therefore, of each Sunday's sessions will be answering the questions that you submit. Right. Dark and large, if you don't mind, print. And I would recommend not writing at too great length. Otherwise, we won't have time to cover as many questions as I'd like to. Once more for the newcomers. Mass at 12 o'clock at the grotto. Then followed here by 2 classes. The first on the lay apostolate, the second on angelology. That's the name of the course. Angelology, there's now another course called demonology. My background, as most of you know, has been teaching my own Jesuits their theology for 25 years. I have taught both angelology and demonology. In any case, 12 o'clock Mass, then we'll come here and most likely we'll have the classes in a larger quarters next week, because there is class next week. Do you have the schedule for the classes, by the way? You should have the schedule. There'll be a break between the classes. The second class will end, well, I'll have to measure my time to give us time for up to a half an hour of questions. Then there will be a Mass here in this classroom after the classes and the question period, around or maybe a little after 4:30. It will not be a long Mass. There will be no singing of the Mass. I'll give just a 2-minute homily for those of you that are not able to attend Mass at 12 o'clock. If you wish, as you know me, you may receive Holy Communion twice on the same day. You know that. Provided the second time you go to Communion, you attend Mass. We begin then, as I've explained, with question 9. Of the course on the lay apostolate. For those of you that have not received copies of the manuscript prior to what we're starting today, copies will be available for all of you, and extra copies for the newcomers next week. I ask all of you, however, to be sure to read the part that we will not have covered in class today. I think it's worth looking at question 8 for just a moment. This is on the course on the lay apostolate. It asks, are the laity to be channels of grace to others? The AA, by the way, after each answer, is the Latin abbreviation for the document of Vatican II on the lay apostolate. For the first time in 2,000 years, the Catholic Church has sponsored an ecumenical council, one of whose 16 documents is on the lay apostolate. I dare say it is the most neglected of the 16 documents of Vatican II. AA3 means it is from section 3 of the document on the lay apostolate. We will have more copies, by the way, of that document. He bought, I think, 100 copies, but he ran out of copies last week. More copies of the document of Vatican II on the lay apostolate should be available by next Sunday. I want all of you to read better, meditate on that document. The Catholic Church, as I've said to so many audiences, is in the most serious crisis of our 20 centuries of history. In the United States alone, the lowest figure that the Holy See will give there is a red escort station wagon next to the school with its headlights on. I just thought I'd make this announcement. Thank you. In the United States alone, the lowest figure that the Vatican provides, we've lost 8,000 priests since the Second Vatican Council. And the crisis is a crisis of faith. And one reason is that so many consecrated people, religious and priests, how it pains me to say this, had, I want to use the past tense, had lost their Catholic faith. You don't close 42 parishes in the Archdiocese of Detroit without a reason. What's the reason? A massive loss of faith. Someone who still has the faith had better pass on that faith to others. Everyone here, all of us, have the faith because someone shared it with us. My favorite definition of the apostolate is, sharing the faith with other people. And the most fundamental grace that we receive is the grace of faith, without which there is nothing else in Christianity. In other words, the laity are to be channels of grace to others. God is the one who gives the grace. But hear it. Oh, what a sentence. God never gives us grace except through human channels. Period. Better exclamation mark. In other words, God became man to remember the grace we need. But God uses human beings as the communicators, the instruments. Mother Teresa uses the word conduits. I like that. Conduits of grace. It's in our constitutions. The messengers of charity are told, you are to be conduits of grace to others. And that, my friends, is the primary meaning of charity. If charity means giving to others what they need, what do people most need? God's grace. Now question 9. What is the role of the hierarchy? Is this channeling of grace? All of these statements, by the way, are syntheses of the document, a long document, of the Second Vatican Council on the lay apostolate. The hierarchy are to pass judgment on the authenticity and good use of the gifts of grace which the laity are to communicate to others. However, this judgment is in no way to quench the Spirit, but rather to ensure that everything is according to His, that is, God's, divine will. Sure, the bishops are successors of the apostles. Sure, they are, hear it, part of the hierarchy. Who is the most important member of the hierarchy?
The Holy Father.
Who is the most important member of the hierarchy?
The Pope.
So too is this, that the teaching or the mandating of any bishops has zero value unless and only insofar as it corresponds to and is confirmed by the Bishop of Rome. That is no casual statement, I assure you. Consequently, the hierarchy, beginning with the Bishop of Rome, are to pass judgment on the authenticity, in other words, on the soundness, the truth of what the laity are either writing or teaching. Thus, the hierarchy have a right to pass judgment, say, on the growing number of mystics, all kinds of locutions people are having these days, right? Here's a person who claims, he or usually she, who says, the Lord is speaking to me. Maybe He is, maybe He is not. How can you tell a genuine mystic from a spurious one? The first norm is whether that, quote, mystic is obedient to church authority. Are even bishops who are not exactly holy, are they still to be obeyed? Yes. As long as they have authority in the diocese, and I repeat, and their teaching conforms to the teaching of the Bishop of Rome, they are to be obeyed. Question 10. On what does the fruitfulness of the lay apostolate depend? Question 10, I would say, is so far the single most important question we have asked. What's the answer? It. meaning what? The fruitfulness of the lay party depends on how closely the lay people are united with Christ. Are we ought to be channels of grace to others? Yes. Is that an option? Yes or no? Is it an obligation?
Yes.
Are we obliged? Are we obliged by God to be a channel of grace to others? Yes. Indeed, unless we are a channel of grace to others, we will not even reach heaven ourselves. Nobody gets to heaven alone. Comma, nobody, exclamation mark. We either bring others to heaven with us, or we won't get there ourselves. Now the question. How fruitful, how effective channels of grace are we to others? How much faith can we communicate to others? As much as we possess faith ourselves. Only believers reproduce other believers. Only humble people reproduce humble people. Only chaste people reproduce chaste people. Believe you me, that is not poetry. That is hard, revealed reality. And this is built on Christ's statement. Whoever dwells in me and I in him bears much fruit. Get it? Bears much fruit. What's that fruit? The principal fruit that we are to bear is to be channels of grace to others. We will communicate, channel, share is not quite the right word. Only as much grace to others as we possess ourselves. You parents, the most important thing you need in life, barring nothing, the most important thing you need in life is yourselves be holy. All the preachifying, all the books are so much wasted air or print. Your children will be only as believing, only as humble, only as patient, only as chaste, only as trustful, only as loving, as you yourselves possess the graces corresponding to those virtues. For separated from me, you can do nothing. How much faith, say, does an apostate Catholic like Hans Kuhn communicate? Zero. In fact, he does just the opposite. Concretely, therefore, the deeper a person's spiritual life, the more effective his apostolate, and we are speaking about and to lay apostles. Question 11. How are the virtues of faith, hope, and charity essential for the lay apostolate? You get the idea, by the way. Read the document of the Holy See of the Second Vatican Council. What I'm giving you here is a synthesis. The Holy See told me to make a synthesis of the Catechism of the Catholic Church. Does anybody here have a copy of the book Faith? Could you? Book Faith. Not that. Catholic Faith, the book. Well, I was told by Rome to reduce the big catechism to question and answer form. 1,300 questions, 1,300 answers. Last week I received a copy from Brazil. The book was published in January. There's now a Portuguese translation of that compendium of the big catechism. You get the logic behind this? I have boiled down, compendized, if you wish, made a compendium of the here, now, the document on the lay apostolate. How are the virtues of faith, hope, and charity essential for the lay apostolate? Says the Second Vatican Council, faith is essential because it provides the believing mind with an understanding of what God has revealed as a condition for human salvation. The virtue of faith is a virtue of the mind. There is no Protestant in the world who knows his Protestantism, who is sober and sane, would ever say that faith is a virtue of the intellect. For the Protestants, as some of you must know, faith is a virtue of the will. It's trust. Trust that I am one of the saved. You can be a sinner and be saved, unquote Martin Luther. It's not faith for us Catholics. Faith is in the intellect, in the mind. We accept with our minds what God has revealed. And of course, without faith, no one can be saved. No one. Hillary Clinton. Nobody can be saved without the faith. The measure and degree of faith to which they are bound, of course, depends on how much of the faith they know. Hope is necessary in order to see everything in this life as a means for reaching eternal life. Hear it. There is one word that is not in God's vocabulary. It's the verb happen. Nothing happens with God. Nothing. Nothing. Everything is part of His divine providence. We make mistakes. We do some stupid things. What a kind word. Stupid. God has a reason for allowing us to, well, do stupid things. Is there even a divine purpose in God's allowing us to sin? Yes. As last week's feast of St. Paul, remember the conversion of St. Paul. He became, shall I say, the ruthless apostle of Christ. Nothing stopped him. Because, having sinned, he realized how much he owes to the loving God whom he had offended. Ah, what a difference to see everything in our lives as a means for reaching eternal life. Now, please, when you go home tonight, don't tell your wife, "Mabel, I never realized it. Now I'm beginning to see. You are a means for my reaching eternal life." Mabel, you know it's not easy for me. Oh, what a gift this virtue of hope is. Why is charity necessary? Charity is necessary in order to exercise that love of God and of our neighbor without which Christianity has no meaning. As Christianity recedes, charity wanes and finally dies out. The deepest need in a homicidal society like ours, for the annual average is, listen, not 1.5, but 14 million abortions every year. Part of my graduate training before I was Senator of Theology was doing my doctoral work in biochemistry. I don't know of a single contraceptive which does not also act as an abortifacient. What they, not just our country, what the world needs is Christianity. Otherwise, it will destroy itself, as our own nation, as you know, has reached the end point. We can no longer survive on our present birth rate. 12. How important is the spirit of poverty and the lay apostolate? It is essential. It is essential so that the lady may be free from the slavery of riches and search for the goods that will never end. Their practice of detachment from the things of this world will give them the generosity they need to exert all their energies in extending the kingdom of God in the hearts of others. I'm never quite sure whether what I say can be really understood except for the words being heard by the ears. We are told by the church, that means by the Holy Spirit governing the church, we're going to exercise this apostolate and you lay people in favor of others. You must be detached from the things of this world. Now, the detachment is not only money, though it includes money. My 3 conversations with the Archbishop of Moscow. He told me every day plane loads of, call themselves missionaries, from you name it, what cult, what weird religion, pour into Russia. Go around distributing all kinds of literature. The Hare Krishnas, the Mormons, all kinds of New Agers, the Jehovah's Witnesses. And they asked me, but where are the Catholics? They come to Russia now for sightseeing and they go back home. One of my responsibilities is working with the Commission for Russia is to find Americans who are willing to spend themselves and bring back to Christ the 250 million people who for 70 years have been forbidden under pain of death to even make the sign of the cross or parents to teach their children the Lord's Prayer. Question 13. How are the laity to practice the Beatitudes, which we heard at Mass today? They, and that's you, are to practice the Beatitudes by following Jesus in poverty, by feeling no depression in want, no pride in plenty, no greed for vain show. Last night, I was making a printout of the manuscript for the teleconference that I'm to give this coming Wednesday. The subject is chastity and eternal life. I went to a reference book that I bought. The advertising industry last year spent $140 billion for what? To make people buy what they don't need with money they don't have. My favorite definition of advertising. They followed the humble Jesus, striving to please God rather than men. Oh, my friends, hear it beginning with me. We are all slaves of human respect. We are born conformists. Oh, how we dread. How we dread. I don't see what people will do to us, what they will say to us. We're even scared what they will think of us. But let me tell you, if you want to follow Jesus Christ faithfully, you cannot be concerned about what others will think of you. They already demanded everything for Christ and endured persecution in proclaiming his name. I hope you believe me. Do you believe the Catholics in the United States today are being persecuted? Do you believe me?
Yes.
And this is just the beginning. Last week, I was picked up at the Jesuit rectory where I live to be brought here to the grotto. My man who told me he had spent now 4.5 years in prison for his, well, praying in front of abortion mills. The pagan emperors who have burned Christians at the stake in the Colosseum had nothing on us. Finally, we're answering the question how the laity are to practice the Beatitudes. They preserve a sincere Christian friendship with one another by supporting one another in all their needs. You've got to work together. Now, 48 years in the priesthood, how much I've learned. One of the hardest things to do is to get, I mean it, Orthodox believing Catholics to cooperate. Question 14. How does this spirituality differ among the laity? It differs according to their different states of life, whether married or single, living in a family or alone, in celibacy or in widowhood. Over the years, I've given many seminars. The most memorable is one to 40 women. I was asked if I'd give the seminar to unmarried women. I said no, unless you change the title. Not unmarried women, but single women. Otherwise, nobody will show up. No woman wants to admit she is unmarried. 40 came. I've said this how many times, as some of you know. In those, 3 days, Friday evening, all day Saturday, and Sunday, I did not get 5 minutes of sleep. All Friday night, all Saturday night, I was counseling these single women. Only two of the four